Welcome to the podcast, From Our Home to Yours, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
It's where we learn to forgive in that home.
Good morning, precious ladies, or good night. Maybe you're listening as you're going off to bed. Anyway, great to be with you again today. And let me start with a poem. I love poems about motherhood. And here's another poem from my book that I do have available in Above Rubies. It's called Quiet Reflections for Mothers. And it has poems that I have saved over the years. And this one is called I Love Johnny. I love you, Johnny, said Mother one day. I love you more than I can say. Then she answered his questions with, don't bother me now, and just didn't have time to show him how to tie his truck to his tractor and plough. But she washed her windows and scrubbed the floor and baked and cooked and cleaned some more. Bring the boy next door in? Well, I should say not. You'll mess up the floors and I don't want a spot. No, we don't have time for a story today. Mother's too busy cooking, so run out and play. Maybe tomorrow, she said with a sigh. And Johnny went out, almost ready to cry. I love you, Johnny, again she said as she washed his face and sent him to bed. Now, how do you think that Johnny guessed whether 'twas he or the house that she really loved best? That's a real challenge to us all, isn't it? Anyway, today I have a very special guest. And this guest is my wonderful niece, Melissa. And Melissa is the daughter of my brother, and I come from a very small family. Sadly, my sister, she lives not far from me here in Tennessee, and my brother, who is away over in New Zealand, where we all originally came from. In fact, I often think that I was so deprived. I only had two siblings, and then as we grew up, we hardly saw one another. My sister emigrated to Canada, and my brother, he joined Youth with a Mission and traveled the world, and I didn't see him for years, and we really missed one another. But anyway, now Melissa lives right here, just around the corner, a bit further down the road from us, and I always think that Melissa actually looks more like me than my own three daughters. And she's always been a bit special to me. Anyway, Melissa has 12 children. And 12 wonderful children. And I want to tell you the names because I love names. And all Melissa's children start with J. I love it when people do that. Yeah. Did you plan to do that, Melissa?
We didn't plan to initially, but the first two names we liked started with J.
Yes.
So we just sort of thought,
so you just carried on.
I guess we'll carry on.
Yes, yes. Well, here I am asking you a question before I've even said, say hi to the ladies. But anyway, here's Melissa.
Hello.
Yes. So she has Josiah and Joshua and Jana. And then they're three boys, or four boys. I always think of them in a row. Jonathan and James and Jesse and Joseph. And then she has Joycey and Joni. Oh, two little princesses with beautiful blonde curly hair. And I love them. And every time I see them, I think, oh, here's my princesses. And so that's your nine biological children. But you've got more.
That's right.
Yes. She has an amazing story. She also has three other children, two adopted from Liberia, Jeremiah and Jemima. Oh, and Jemima. Oh, goodness me. She's just like a queen. How old is Jemima now?
15.
15, yes. And she just carries herself like a queen. I think she must have come from some royal stock somewhere, because right from the time you got her, she's always had this queenliness about her,
yes.
Hasn't she? And then, so they have two adopted from Liberia. And then at the very tail end, no more children were coming along, and so Melissa and her husband Cal went to China and adopted a darling little Down syndrome girl from China. So we're going to hear about her story. Anyway, Melissa.
Yes.
Your story really starts, I think, before you were married, doesn't it? You know, right. Tell us what you were doing before you were married. In Hong Kong, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I think as a young girl, I always wanted to work in an orphanage. Mm. And so after I finished high school, I did some nanny work for different people, a theatre company. And then I still wasn't married. So I thought, what am I going to do with my life? And my sister had been in Hong Kong. So I heard about a place called Mother's Choice. And it's an orphanage. So I worked there for a year and a half.
Mm. Yes, and while you were there, I think you began to love some special little children, didn't you?
Yes, well, I'd always wanted to adopt children after I married. And while in Hong Kong, I saw we had a lot of special needs children, and most of those children had Down syndrome. Mm. And the babies that were quote-unquote normal had a waiting list of parents who were waiting for their babies. Mm. But all of our special needs children sort of languished there for several years while people searched for a family for them.
Yeah.
And I became very attached to a little girl who had Down syndrome, and I took her everywhere with me on my time off. And that's when I looked into her eyes one day and said, if you're still here when I get married, I'm going to adopt you.
Yes.
But that's where God changed my heart to want to specifically adopt a child with Down syndrome.
Yes. And then when you got married, did you ever find out about that little girl again?
She did get adopted.
She did.
Yes.
How wonderful.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. So anyway, you started off, you got married to your wonderful, handsome Prince Cal.
Yes.
And, well, his name is actually Dean, but he's always called Cal, short for Calhoun, their
yes.
last name. And, but that didn't start too well either, did it? You just weren't conceiving. Mm-hmm. Help, tell us about that.
Yes, well, we both wanted to have a large family, and we were both open to adoption too. But we thought we'd have biological children first. And I got pregnant without any problem. And I continued to get pregnant without any problem, but I couldn't keep the baby. So I miscarried the first three. And then I had an ectopic pregnancy.
Yes, tell us what happened about that.
Well, that was a desperately hard time because my husband was actually away in Japan.
He's in the Marine. He was
in the
Marine.
Yes, he was in
then.
The Marine Corps.
Yes.
So he was away, and the doctors weren't sure if it was a miscarriage or ectopic. I was reluctant to do a DNC in case that it was going to be a miracle and the baby would be fine. But finally they saw the embryo in my fallopian tube.
Mm.
So I had to have emergency surgery, and they ended up removing that tube because of they couldn't stop the bleeding.
Mm.
So I remember sitting in the hospital thinking, I was fine, I was all composed, and I was going to accept it.
And
they
all
asked,
by yourself, without
yes,
your husband.
That's when I lost it. They said, so do you have anyone to call? And I couldn't stop crying after that because
yes.
I thought, I have no one to call.
Yes.
We'd just moved to, you know, we were newly married in Hawaii, and I didn't really know anybody yet.
Your parents in another country,
yes.
your husband in another
yes.
country. Yes.
Yes. Thankfully, some ladies from the church we were going to came and, you know, looked after me and took me home.
Yes. Oh, so here you are, desperate for children, and now you've had a fallopian tube taken.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, what happens next?
Yes, well, I got pregnant again, and because of my history with the ectopic pregnancy, needed to go right away and make sure this one wasn't going to be ectopic. And unfortunately, it was. So
yes.
then they realized that tube also had a problem. So they referred us to the IVF clinic.
Yes.
Yes. That's when Cal and I thought, well, that's why God gave us a heart to adopt. That must be what he wants us to do.
Yes, so then you started the adoption procedures.
Yes, we started the proceedings, and I should have known I would get pregnant again, which so I did, and that time I was just so demoralized and thought, oh, this is going to be have the same result.
Yes.
So I went, you know, I did my duty and made the appointment to go and have an ultrasound and make sure it wasn't in my tube again, because that can be life-threatening. And my husband asked me if I wanted him to come to the appointment. I said, no, don't even bother. I know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Stay home. And so when I went, they did the ultrasound. I was 6 weeks along, and they saw Josiah in my womb, and they saw his heart beating. And the doctor said, well, I remember him saying, once we see a heartbeat, you're almost guaranteed, you know, pretty much guaranteed you'll have a baby in 9 months.
Yes.
And I started crying so much, and the nurse was patting my arm asking me if this was a good thing for you, dear. And I was like, yes, I just can't believe it.
Yes, how wonderful.
Yes. When I came home, it was like an hour drive. So I came home and I opened the door and I had that little picture of the ultrasound.
Oh.
And I'm going to cry about it. And yes. Cal met me at the door, and I'm just like, look at this. And we just broke down and dropped to our knees and thanked God.
How wonderful. And now Josiah has his own baby, and you're a grandmother.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
And he isn't he the most adorable little child?
I saw him on the way here walking around.
Yes.
So cute.
Oh, yes. Oh, so dear precious mothers, there could be some of you listening today and, you're struggling to get pregnant. Maybe you're having miscarriage after miscarriage. Maybe you've even had ectopic pregnancies. But don't ever despair. God is good. Keep trusting him. And You never know what God can do. And you always keep trusting him. I believe that that's our responsibility. We are to trust God, walk in faith, and then just let God do what he will do. Amen. And then God blessed you with 9 precious babies from your womb.
Yes.
With 1 fallopian tube.
Yes.
Yes.
The first few times I went to make sure the baby wasn't in my tube, and after that I just thought, no.
Yes.
But I think God has a special journey and relationship with each of us, and he wants to teach us things.
Yes.
And before I was pregnant with Josiah, I remember walking one day just angry at God. This is not fair. This is all I've ever wanted, to have children. And, you know, women who abuse their bodies are able to carry a baby. What's wrong with me? Why can't I? And I really felt God saying, Melissa, can you have joy if you never have children? Am I enough for you?
Yes, that's a huge challenge.
Yes,
isn't it?
And I couldn't answer immediately. I really had to think. And I realized, yes, I can have joy. If God never blesses me with children, he is enough. God is enough for me.
Yes. And I had a little thought. You mentioned how that when you were pregnant with Josiah, and yes, the baby was in your womb, not in your fallopian tube, and the doctor said, now when we can see a heartbeat, we know that you're going to have a baby in 9 months. And that's a powerful statement, because when they see that heartbeat, they know right then that is alive. Josiah was Josiah right then.
That's right.
Not when he was born. I was talking to a lady the other day. They came and visited us last weekend. And she was raised a feminist. She was raised to believe that, you know, the baby in the womb was a bit of nothing. You know, she just had no idea. She was totally brainwashed that a baby in the womb was a bit of tissue, that it didn't have any value at all. And she also had a miracle. Her 3 children she does have are all miracles. And when her first baby was born, and she held this baby in her arms, she said, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, this baby's alive. Alive. And the nurses said, well, of course she's alive. But she said, you don't realize what I'm saying. this baby, it came out alive. It was alive in me all that time. Right. And that was the first revelation she knew of being raised a feminist, that this baby in her womb had been alive all that time, from the moment of conception. And it was just a huge revelation to her. From that moment, she knew that abortion was murder and that the baby in the womb is alive. And that baby is that person, that same person when they're 90 years old, of when they were first conceived.
Right. I know.
It's just amazing. But anyway, your journey is quite incredible. You had Josiah and Joshua, and that's another interesting thing. I look at Josiah and I look at Joshy. Oh, you can't believe
it's like opposite people.
Yes, you couldn't believe they were brothers. You know, here's Josiah, the real hard-working cowboy. You know, he's got his cowboy hat on, looks so handsome in it. Yes. And Joshy, with all his curly hair everywhere, and he's a computer nerd.
I mean,
that's where his brilliance is. And they're so opposite, aren't
they're
they?
They're so opposite.
You just can't believe it. Oh, it is so amazing, dear mothers with little ones, to just see what God will do with your children. And, you know, we have to say, I guess you feel like this too, Melissa, I do, because, I mean, I'm further down the line, not only my children, but my grandchildren and now even great-grandchildren coming on. And you look at what God is doing in their lives. You look at the gifts God has given them and you realize it's God. Because I couldn't have made my child like that, or I couldn't have given him that gift. And no, God makes everyone.
That's right.
If
we were making them, we'd probably make them all the same way.
Oh, yes, and just the way we wanted. But our children are so different to us, aren't they? I mean, could you be a computer nerd like Joshua?
Absolutely not.
No, I couldn't do one quarter of the things my children are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, then your next baby was Jana, a little girl. And
finally,
what happened then?
Yes. She was our first and only hospital birth. That just happened because we had moved to Hawaii again and there was no birthing center like we'd had the two boys in, and my husband wasn't comfortable with a home birth. So we went to the hospital. We had Jana, the birth, we waited outside, went in, had her in 10 minutes there.
You had really all your babies so quickly,
yes,
didn't you?
Just
like your mum. Oh,
yes.
It must be in the genes, I think, in your genes. It didn't come through mine, but it came through your side. Yes, your mum had her baby so quick, even big 10-pounders.
Yes,
and, yeah,
she says she didn't feel any pain at all. I didn't inherit that part. I felt it. Yes. But yes, she was born very quickly and fine, and she nursed right away. I thought there was no problem, but the midwife came over and told me that they had called the pediatricians to come and check on her, and she was sort of skirting the issue, looked very uncomfortable, and I don't know why I even said it, but I said, do you think she has Down syndrome? And she said yes. I said okay, and the pediatricians came and looked at her, and they fussed around looking for the signs of creases in her hand and things like that, but she was very healthy, and the pediatrician said nothing to us. And I think that the fact that she had Down syndrome sort of became overlooked, because I wanted to go home. And Cal and I would had hospital births. I mean, we would had birthing center births where we could leave after a few hours.
Yes.
So we wanted to go home and they didn't want to let us.
Oh.
And being in the military, in a military hospital, there's the rank situation.
Yes.
And so my husband felt like he couldn't really demand of the officers that we, you know, were leaving. It became a big thing. It took several hours of them lecturing us and telling us off, basically, while we sat there just continually saying, we want to go home, we're fine, we want to go home. But they never once said, we think
really?
She has Down syndrome, can you stay and we'll do the
really?
Carrier-type blood test. They never once said it.
Wow.
So finally, we had to sign against medical advice papers, and it was a Sunday. They had to call in the doctor to sign the paper, and she was very upset with us. And Jana was wrapped in the hospital blanket. I said, do you want me just to take that off and I'll put on my blanket? They said, no, just go. Take the blanket and leave. They were so angry with us. So we came home and I do remember saying to my friend who was watching the boys, do you think she has Down syndrome? And she said, no, she doesn't. We had to take Jan to the paediatrician the next day as per our arrangement of leaving the hospital early. And I asked that.
Yes.
Doctor, do you think she has Down syndrome? Well, it's interesting, in the military you have a lot of doctors who don't speak English very well.
Yes.
And this lady didn't. And she kind of cocked around and said no.
Wow.
So we just carried on life like normal.
Yes. Which was a good thing.
Yes. And I would think it sometimes. I had worked for a year and a half with babies with Down syndrome. Yes. You think I would recognize it. And when I look back in pictures, I absolutely recognize
yes.
it. But nobody said anything to us. And Jana was feeding well and growing well and meeting milestones pretty normally.
Yes.
And but when she was about 5, almost 6 months old, we had a work picnic and the commanding officer had a sibling with Down syndrome. And he looked at us and said, from afar, and said to himself, their daughter has Down syndrome, I think, and they don't seem to know. But he didn't say anything because he wasn't sure.
Yes.
But then a month later, there was another picnic. And he was like, okay, that little girl definitely has Down syndrome and they definitely don't know it. So on Monday morning, he called Cal to his office and said, do you realize your daughter has Down syndrome?
Wow.
And Cal called me. And as soon as he said that, then I knew.
Yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
She does. And we did the karyotype blood testing, of course.
Yes.
And she did. But I think God blessed us with that beautiful time of just enjoying her and being normal.
I think that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because then you really, you continue to just treat her so normally, didn't you?
I mean,
you just treated her like one of the other children. And and for many of those years, she grew up very normally, didn't she?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And she was the perfect Down syndrome child with all this love oozing out of her.
Yeah.
I can remember every time whenever she would come to the door. Oh, it's just so lovely to love a Down syndrome child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and just get all that love that they have. It was so amazing. So you really sort of had quite a long honeymoon time with Jana, didn't
you? Yes, she's very high functioning, and she never had any health issues, which really helps.
Yes, and she was healthy.
Yes.
So you had a honeymoon for how many years?
Oh, 12, almost
13. About 12 or 13 years until she reached puberty.
Yes. We still don't know what caused the change in her.
No.
Someone described it to me and I thought they said it's like a perfect storm. It could be puberty, it could be the fact that we'd moved a lot of times, it could be something in the environment, it just could be anything, and we still don't know what caused the change in her.
Yes.
But she started to become, well, now I know it was depression, but she started to not want to get out of bed and just flop around everywhere, and she would laugh or cry hysterically in the middle of the night. We had to try and we were living in a very small house, but we slept there sort of away from everyone because she would wake everyone up. Just loud screaming laughter or screaming crying. Then she started getting a lot of different tics and walking in circles and just leaping up and running out the door. We were living on 15 acres that backed onto a forest. So she would run off into the forest, and once I couldn't find her for hours.
Oh.
I finally called Cal to come home from work, thinking, we're going to have to call the police. What are we going to do? And thankfully he was able to find her. But she was just been wandering around in the woods, wasn't...
And that was amazing, difficult, challenging thing for you to face, because she'd just been so normal and perfect for all those years, hadn't she? It was even for me. I mean, suddenly, what's happened to my Jana? You know, this gorgeous, darling, lovable girl, and suddenly she's just not relating to you.
No, she was absolutely in her own world.
Yes.
And she would stare off into the corner up in the ceiling and have angry conversations at nobody. You'd ask her, who are you talking to? She'd look at you, say, nobody, and then back to her crazy talking.
Yes.
Then things were always changing. Something would get better, something would get worse. And the worst was when we moved here and you guys saw her like that, where she would throw screaming tantrums for absolutely no reason. She could be calmly, she did a lot of repetitive scribbling on papers till the whole paper would be covered in ink, the pens run out. But she could be doing that and then leap up from the chair just screaming at the top of her lungs in a massive tantrum and kicking and thrashing.
Yeah.
And you never knew when it might happen, and she would do that for several times a day.
Yes, and you just kind of put up with it for a while and tried things, and then
what
happened?
Oh, we were always trying, you know, special diets. Yes. We you know, we have a more alternative approach to medicine.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, putting her on any kind of drug we had thought about, but then we think about the side effects.
Yes.
And so we tried this diet and that diet, and we finally got her in to see a child psychologist. That appointment took about a year to wait for. And she was wonderful. And she gave her a diagnosis of autism and depression. She had a lot of autistic behaviours, a lot.
Yeah, and yet it never had appeared until that time.
No, never. No, none. Yes. None at all.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, I don't like labels, but they do open doors. So by her being labelled autistic, she was able to get ABA therapy. So she has a therapist come to the home twice a week now, which is wonderful.
Yes.
But even the therapist agrees now that she doesn't really need her. It's just kind of someone to come and visit.
Yes.
So, and she, at that time, she was also, you know, labelled that she was suffering with depression.
Yes.
So we...
So these were all sort of apart from the Down syndrome, weren't they?
Yes. Yes, yes. She had a dual diagnosis.
Yes.
Yes. So we said, look, this is terrible. It can't get worse. We might as well try medication. So we put her on an antidepressant. And within a month or two, we suddenly started thinking, oh, she's not screaming anymore. Or, you know, oh, she actually gets out of bed. She comes up and says, well, I'm here. Good morning.
How wonderful.
And so now now it's been such a blessing.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of stigma with antidepressants, but I think there's definitely a place for them.
Yes.
And
it's
brought
Jana
back.
Wasn't what
you
ever planned.
No, but it's brought her back to who she is.
Yes, yes. Oh, but that is so great. And so another interesting thing is, too, when we're talking about Down syndrome, is that, you know, you had Jana when you were young. You know,
yes.
And then you never had any more Down syndrome children, even as though you were getting older, having babies, you know. And so a lot of people think, oh, well, I can't really have another baby now I'm getting into my late 30s or maybe 40s. What if I had a Down syndrome baby? But, you know, you had Jana when you were young. I have another niece in Australia. She had a Down syndrome baby right, I think it was their first baby, right when she was young.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really determined on age.
No.
In fact, how did they, this is what gets me, how do they say that? Because apart from those who have learned to know God's truth and that we are in our childbearing years until we reach menopause or until God doesn't give us any more, out there in the secular world and in the Christian world, most women are not having babies in their 40s. They've stopped having children so much earlier than that. So how do they have any statistics anyway?
Right.
I mean, really. And so, because I know hundreds and hundreds of mothers who have babies in their 40s and they have perfect children.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, every now and then, someone has a Down syndrome baby. But, okay, you've talked about the challenges you faced with Jana. Well, what about blessings? I mean, okay, there's always challenges in everything, isn't there? Well, tell me what you feel about the challenges at this moment.
The challenges now?
The challenges,
well, it's wonderful
well,
now because we
oh,
don't
you haven't
have
got
challenges.
Any. Now she's, yes, that's right. But even, yes.
But during that time, we did face that. And Cal and I would often think, what if this is how she's going to be for the rest of her life?
I know.
There were still blessings. There, even though she was totally out in la-la land, there were still moments.
Yes.
Like Cal said once, there's enough moments where she would you know, be affectionate or show some spark of joy in something.
Yes.
Even that was enough to carry us through.
Mm-hmm. But God has brought you right through. Well, look, our time is up again. So can you stay on for a bit of the next session? Because we haven't even got to talk about Jewel yet.
Yes, I can stay.
Oh, my. Yes, so Anyway, we'll close this session. I know it's been a blessing to you because not everybody's journey is perfect. I know that many of you have faced different issues, in your lives and with your children. Not all of you have perfect children, in quotes. We have to put that in quotation marks, don't we? Because why is it that we think our child has to be this perfect child and just how we want them? Because children are eternal souls. They may not all be perfect on the outside or be able to do everything correctly. And a lot of children have autism today. And they have this or they have that, either mentally or physically. But even in having a child who is like this, God comes through. And I think it's in the challenging and difficult times that we really find God more than when everything is just wonderful and perfect. Wouldn't you agree? And so if you are going through a difficult, challenging time, you have a child who is a challenge because of their disabilities, either mentally or physically, know that God is with you. And know that this child has as much worth as any other child in your family. And this child is an eternal soul. And this child is going to one day live forever. That is the amazing thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you are preparing this child for eternity. Eternity. And I think, we have to often be reminded that this is the real world. And I've got a wonderful scripture to talk with you about. Perhaps we'll do it in the next session. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much that we can hear another story today from Melissa of just the ways you deal with each family individually. And we thank you that in whatever we face, you are with us. You are bigger than every challenge we face, every circumstance we are in. We thank you and we praise you with all our hearts. We give you thanks for whatever circumstances we are in now or whatever we are facing. We give you praise and we worship you, our Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.